All right, good day, listeners. Welcome to the Ohmcast, the show where we get real, authentic, and weird. This is episode 002, and today we have the one and only Mason Halligan here. Mason and
I are... Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Our friendship goes way back, like over a decade of memories, and we actually were roommates back when I was distributing cannabis as my occupation between ages 18 and 20. We had many, many fun times, and we have a very close circle of friends that we call the Bubs. And yeah, I'm excited to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Whenever I think of Mason, he is like the outdoor king. Like anything that has to do with connecting with Mother Nature, from floating the green, boating in the Puget Sound, skiing, fishing, anything that's outside, that's like what he does. And I'm always thinking in my mind, if there was ever a zombie apocalypse, Mason would be your guy to have in your squad. Essential, because he's got the gear, he's got the skills, and he's got the drive. So
yeah.
All truths here.
I was actually going to say that I just had a conversation with someone where I mentioned that when something really, really goes wrong, I tend to be that person that knows what to do or is more calm.
Yep.
But in the little things in life, I'm still working on it.
Yeah. So if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, hit up Mason. He's your guy. So if you got all the listeners that aren't watching the video right now, you can see that we're in a van, and Mason has been working on this project for the past couple weeks, and he's going to be turning this vehicle into his home because he just recently quit his job a week ago, and he's going to just explore the United States, open-ended, no plan. And I think this is like so incredible because a lot of people in this day and age have the dream of quitting everything and doing the van life. And I'm like so honored to know someone personally that has taken the leap. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's going to be really dope. I hope you guys get really inspired. Mason has this is his second time doing this. Because before he had a Toyota Tacoma that he kind of converted into a camper. That was like the 1.0 version. But this one's got the four-wheel drive, the HIDs, we got insulation. This is like going to be the decked out 2.0 version. And I'm so excited to talk about this.
Me too. So I just bought this van a few months ago, and it took several months of research, but also courage, build up to pull the trigger. It's the largest purchase I've ever made in my life, and it's not fully paid off, but definitely a big, big decision. And I equate it to buying a house. I've never bought a house yet, but it's kind of that,
this is gonna be your
big investment.
Yeah, it's going to be your house. It's like a house on wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we can start off like what like inspired this? What within you was like, I need to quit my job and just go explore for a while. I don't have any plan on how I'm gonna make money. I don't have any plan on where I'm gonna go. I just wanna like get out. And I don't think it came from like a place of like, you know, feeling trapped or angry or anything. You just wanna explore. That's like the outdoor nature of who you are.
So A long time ago, I heard a quote about running towards something rather than away from it. And so that's mostly what this is about is I got the opportunity to travel a lot when I was younger, planned family vacations, but it exposed me to time off and different places and new people, experiences. And I think that that planted a seed, and that when I was in my early 20s, I was kind of afraid of, will I be successful? Am I going to make money? And so I just got a job, and I had a pretty darn good one, and it paid well, and it was relatively easy. And about 3 years into that, I realized that I wasn't that fulfilled or that I wasn't challenged. And
there was like something was missing. Right?
Yes. And that it was comfortable, but that I needed to pursue some other experience in life. And so I had the idea to travel long term, as in several months at a time, without a specific plan or destination. Mm-hmm. And that was a dream 3 years into a 6 year career at that place. So what I'm saying is, 3 years from realizing it, it took thinking about mm-hmm. it, and lots of doubts.
That's about a huge leap.
Money mm-hmm. and job and friends and family. And there's all these fears of things I felt like I was going to be leaving or mm-hmm. losing mm-hmm. By doing that. And I then started to see someone who was younger and hadn't got a career yet and had an idea and said, hey, let's go live in a van. And I was like, ha, 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 that is insane. Who can actually do that? It sounds like a dream, and that's very cute, but probably not. Mm-hmm. And then I realized my dream of traveling long-term. Yeah, it didn't have a van in the picture, but now I realize it's basically the same thing, and they were speaking to what I already knew, mm-hmm. you know? And I sent a text and said, you know that crazy idea? How about we pursue that? That would be really cool. So it actually, you know, to give other influencers in your life credit, you know, for mm-hmm. helping you
inspire it,
remember right? your dreams or your goals, mm-hmm. even if they didn't do that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that time I decided, hey, I'm gonna quit my job I've been at for 6 years, very comfortable, mm-hmm. And I love my apartment and I love my car, mm-hmm. a little sports car, and I was like, I know I have to sell that if this is gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So I decided to sell my car and move out of my apartment, mm-hmm. move in with my mom, which I hadn't done in 8 years or whatever that was. So yeah, that was a big deal. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of the beginning of me realizing that I can take a break from you know, what some might call the monotony. It's just life, you know. I mean, we all have to make money and you know, like, have work.
The grind.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah. So, but I can take a break from the uh-huh. grind and be safe and comfortable mm-hmm. and taken care of and get over that fear. So yeah. So decided to do that.
That's incredible.
And decided to build a camper. So that was with the help of another friend. And so yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, there's inspirational people, like, shout out to Gabe, you know. I know that everyone watching this channel probably has some kind of idea of that, or at least if you've not even met him, you've probably thought to yourself at some point, boy, I'd like to do that. Wouldn't that be cool? And so, yeah, yeah. So, and he's traveling all over the place and lives an unconventional lifestyle compared to most people. And so that's been really inspiring in my life, actually, as well. So,
yeah. Oh, I'm honored.
So to have that, and then also a friend with woodworking skills, an ex-partner with an idea that was resonant with a dream that I had. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people to give credit to, you know, it's not just one person.
That's very humble of you. Very humble of you to give credit to everyone. Right. It wasn't just your idea.
Right.
That's so cool.
You know, shout out to my mom. She's a free spirit. Mm-hmm. And you know, she didn't live this lifestyle, but very, very encouraging. And you know, whenever I would have doubts, it's like, just don't think about that. Just mm-hmm. do what your heart wants you to do. Everything will work out.
Yep.
That wasn't easy to accept the first couple times. It was like, you're crazy. You're just not in reality, you know?
But now this is your reality. Look,
you have to work and you have to and you have, and this is just not something you can just do. And I said the same thing to my ex-partner, you know?
Old paradigms.
Yeah.
Like once you like clear them out, there's actually anything is possible.
Yeah.
And you've already done it before. So it's so cool that you're doing it again.
Yep.
That's amazing.
So that's how that began. So then I built a camper.
Yeah, you got the travel bug now, right?
Yeah. So
you don't plan on coming back for a while, huh?
It's going to be, I keep saying 3 to 6 months. Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I got to keep pointing out to everybody, is that I'm open. So my first time that I went on a trip, I wasn't necessarily open. I had a relatively planned route and itinerary, and I don't mean like to the T or to the day, but this is where I'm going, these are the places I'm going to hit. And that first trip was only about 6 weeks, and I had very, very little income and no plan of getting a job on the road, no plan of moving anywhere. And it was kind of linear in a way, where I kind of knew that there was a time that was coming to an end. So
the fact that it's open-ended gives it so much mystery. Mystery.
So technically this would be the third time. This would be 3.0, but it's just the second vehicle. So my first trip was at 6 weeks, and it was pretty linear. And then about a year and a half later, I went out again solo, and that was not linear. That was totally open, and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And that one more than any when I told people I'm leaving, and they're like, do you have a lot of savings? I'm like, no. Oh, well, you better save before you leave. And I'm like, maybe I should do that. And my mom was like, you're going to make money on the road. You don't got to worry about that. You just find a job.
Yep.
You're likable and employable. It'll happen. And I'm like, that's craziness. No,
it's like
you
so
must
insecure.
Save. You
so
know?
Insecure. Like, yeah, there's no like foundation. Mm-hmm.
And so, so what ended up happening there was I saved up a little bit, maybe $1,200, mm-hmm. which is not a lot when you're going, I don't know how long I'll be gone or where I'm going or if I have a job. And that took a lot more courage. I was open to whatever was going to come my way. Mm-hmm. And that turned out to be one of the best experiences of my life. Mm-hmm. And so basically being open and not having that itinerary led me to meet somebody who was really cool and inspirational. And I was actually living in their Subaru and saw my camper, struck up a conversation. We became friends really, really quickly, and stuff like that happens on the road when you're open and you don't have your friends and family and
so
familiarity.
True. So
and true. So they introduced me to someone who offered me a job, and I worked at a ski resort, and I would have never had that idea unless I just happened to be doing really cool stuff with really cool people. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, I'll be needing a job soon, so I'll be leaving. Well, why not just get this job? Hey, I know somebody. And then that turned into 15 new resorts in 5 weeks. I went skiing for free, and I was living in my camper. And I didn't plan that, but it happened, and it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. And so I just kind of go, wow, this is really neat. Well, I only have $200 left in my pocket because ski resorts don't pay well as a lift operator. So
you get to ski for free.
Yeah, but I get to
huge
ski for
value,
free.
Huge
and
value
so
in that.
It was a great experience. So, but I kind of had that new courage of, hey, I don't have any money, but things could work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I could always turn around, worst case scenario, I'll be safe, you know, and I'll be fed somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that day that I was leaving the ski resort, I knew I didn't have a job lined up, but I'm going to head south. Mm-hmm. I like rafting, so I had this idea like, hey, I'll just go towards a raft area and see if I can get a job. And I didn't get out of the parking lot for more than 10 minutes and heading south. And that was my only real idea of what was going to, you know, happen that next day. And I got a call from a friend of a friend that said, hey, I heard you were traveling. Like, oh, well, we're in Oregon. Where are you? Oh, you're in Oregon. Okay, well, we just bought a farm. Would you like to come and work for us for a couple of weeks? Sure. I was actually looking for a job.
That's divine timing. Always, hey, always supported.
How does that happen? It's just kind of weird. So long story short, I spent a season working on a farm, and that ended up being more income than I'd ever made previously in that amount of time in my life. So how...
You couldn't even plan that.
I couldn't have planned it. It's not possible. So I'm just saying that
you have to trust.
My mom was right.
Thanks, Mom. Moms are usually always right.
Yeah.
So there was like, I guess like the trust that you had of it all working out was greater than the fear that you had, like mm-hmm. that was stopping you from actually doing it.
Yeah.
So just like just putting all the fears behind you, because fear can stop so many people from actually pursuing what they want to pursue in this life, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough for you to be like, I'm not going to let this fear stop me from like exploring and doing what I love to do.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And then look at the result. The result, like you were perfectly taken care of. You're perfectly supported. Of course it happens that way.
Yep.
The universe will not let you starve for following your heart. It's the truth.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
You follow your bliss, you're going to be taken care of, as like spiritual and woo-woo as that sounds.
Yeah. And I do believe that. And I would say that prior to that trip, I really needed a push off of the cliff to make the decision mm-hmm. to
leave. What was the push?
Leave. I would give credit back to my mom. I still had that conversation of fear, and she's just like, look, everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be fine. It's mm-hmm. going to work out. And eventually I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, we'll see.
That's
well,
so cool.
It was proved to me. So yeah, after coming back from that experience, and it was very unique, and that's the other thing I was gonna say, is that by not choosing these jobs and having them come to you in a way, that's a whole new thing, because you're not picking the same thing that you've done before.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's new experiences that open up and new skills and lessons and people, and yeah. So that was really neat. But
it just came to you as opposed to you having to chase it, right? That's such a different way of like...
And I am, you know, just to, for someone who may not believe, hey, well, that happened to him, it may happen to me. Well, if you need work and you are employable and capable, you can find work. And using social media, you know, for one, working a remote job or doing something online, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of creative things.
Yes.
This just happened to work out divinely for me in this time, and it can again, and it can happen for other people.
Yes.
To just be open to that, because I can say that's the best way to do it.
I think that's the biggest objection when people are like, oh, I'm gonna pursue the van life. They're like, how are you gonna, like, where's the income going to come from, right? But we live in such a crazy technological age where you can make money doing anything now, anything now, because money's just exchange of services, right? Mm-hmm. And you could do, if you, as long as you have a cell phone or a laptop and a good attitude.
Yeah. And, you know, and you have to be willing to, you know, that's the other thing about van life, is that everyone is like rainbows and unicorns. Yeah, yeah. They see all the Instagram photos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's the dream, right?
In my van life research, I've seen other people talk about, it's like, it all seems great and wonderful until you have to poop in a bag. Yeah. You know, well, I can say that I've never had to poop in a bag.
Knock on wood.
There's some wood here somewhere.
Knock on wood.
Okay. So,
we just poop outside.
But it can happen. So, and then there's a lot of other things that are just a little bit uncomfortable. You know, I mean, you may not have access to a shower every single day. You may not have... easy place to go to the bathroom. It may be noisy where you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of things, but it's not, none of it is more, it's not deterring to the overall adventure. Mm-hmm. And that all of these things actually kind of build character in a way by exposing you to uncomfortable and challenging experiences. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say that I've considered my, most people that know me would consider me a clean freak. A lot of my childhood and my teenage years and even my early 20s. And a lot of that has changed. And I say that living in a camper and a van has definitely helped me with that. I mean, I've always been into the outdoors and accepting of becoming dirty and working on construction projects and stuff like that. But,
you've loosened up.
I've loosened up. So I think that's benefited me, mm-hmm. Actually, in other areas of my life and made me a little bit less of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm. So like living life so rigidly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And So what's interesting is that when I came back from the second trip, I didn't know what I was going to do next all over again. But I had decided to move back home. It was winter time, and I worked very, very hard on that farm, and I made good money. But at the same time, I was a little bit lost again. I said, hey, you know, I don't know what's next for me, but we'll see what happens. And I didn't need to work for about a month, which was cool. And I had bought a little old car that was very unique, and that struck up a conversation. So with the money I made from that trip, I bought this cool little car to reward myself. And then I drove it to a coffee shop and someone said, wow, cool car. What is it? Let's talk about it. And that guy said, hey, what do you do for a job? Well, I'm unemployed right now. He goes, really? Well, if you're looking for something, maybe you should, drive cars back and forth between these auto dealerships. You just go to the auto auction and then the car dealership, auto auction, car dealership all day. And you get to listen to audiobooks or do whatever you want. And I'm like, that sounds kind of cool, you know, like I'm not doing anything and it'd be kind of nice to, you know, have some income again because I will need a job very soon. Mm-hmm. So I did that for about 6 weeks. But while I was doing that, I was reminded that my job when I was 18 was working at a car dealership. And I thought to myself, I always wanted to try selling cars because I heard you can make pretty good money. And so I've always been in some kind of customer service or sales most of my life. So I thought, hey, that was something I never did, but I thought about, and I'm kind of open now to all sorts of different things. So why don't I give that a try and see if it's going to work? So, me choosing to have another job making minimum wage, which is driving cars back and forth, And it was kind of, in my mind, it was a step down from a lot of jobs I've had in the past. But then again, the ski resort sounded like a step down until it created this amazing experience. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that it's not a step down.
Yeah, it's not even about the money that you make. It's just you can't quantify what it is by how much money you're making.
The experience is value.
100%.
And so, yeah, you're making $9 an hour in Oregon, you know, minimum wage, but my value was $30, $40, $50 an hour because of the experiences that I got. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I can't trade that time and those memories for cash. So
beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
Moving on to the next one. Well, that job I was doing wasn't necessarily great experience driving cars back and forth between auto auctions, but what it did is it exposed me again to this idea and inspiration, hey, maybe I should try that. So I wrote up a resume for the first time in my entire life, which is, it sounds like I'm bragging, but I'm 30 years old and I'm writing a resume for the first time and I'm actually seeking a job on my own without someone saying, hey, you
having
should
it come to you, right?
Or hey, here's a job for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool, I'll take that. So in a way it feels like I'm actually choosing my destiny more than I had in the past, you know. So I sent a resume, got 5 job offers and 5 interviews in 2 days, and I was like, oh my god, like I can choose where I want to work. This is really cool. I don't know if I'm even gonna like it. Well, I did it and it was very successful, and I never expected that, but it happened. And what that did was make me realize that experience was like, I haven't been applying myself or putting myself out there in situations and choosing my life as much as I'd like.
Yes.
So
just being deliberate about what you want to do with your life. That's
and it's not
so
like
powerful.
I've always thought about doing car sales because it would benefit the world and me and the universe. I'm not saying that. In fact, kind of funny, when I told most of my friends, I think I want to try selling cars right before I did the interviews, a lot of my friends said, oh my God, really? Like, but you're such a nice person. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, like dogs, right?
And
they're
I'm like, look, you don't have to be an awful person. Like, you know, that's not part of the job. In fact, it might work in my benefit. And it actually really did. So like coming off as genuine, you know, in that business, very, very successful.
Yeah, you did really well.
And so I did very, very well. And so that enabled me to save up some money. And so, but here's the thing. Is that my whole life I was like, man, I would like a job that pays really good money and gives me really good time off, and then I'll just be happy, and that'll be it. And so my first year at the car dealership, because I performed well, I had 5 weeks of vacation, paid vacation, because I worked so many hours. Most of it was paid, right? That was an easy thing for me, was to do 5 weeks of vacation. Well, can anyone do any career that's a normal corporate job and take more than a week or two of vacation their first year? It's almost unheard of. So that's really cool. So I'm very satisfied in that way, or at least pleased. And then actually not satisfied, I'll get to that. So and then also making really good money. And I was like, well, that's what I wanted when I was a kid. Now I have it, and it's
there's still this emptiness.
Life is
right?
Good.
Yeah.
And this emptiness is not really like I'm just totally lost in life. It's just my thirst for new experiences and travel is insatiable right now at this point in my life. So even though I have the great job and I have great employer and I have great time off, it sounds like life is wonderful. I'm like just thinking of traveling and I want to take more time off. And I'm like, huh, well, 5 weeks a year isn't enough. What's wrong with me? There must be something wrong with me because I'm none satisfied.
The Matrix is not for you.
Yeah.
clearly, isn't that you? Not for Mason Halligan.
And so I was very upfront with my boss. I said, hey, look, at some point I'm going to be leaving. I just need to let you know, you know. And he's like, okay, all right. You know, well, that sounds, you know, okay, you know, like I get it. When are you leaving? Like, oh, I don't know, but it'll be at some point. And this was a year before I decided to actually leave. But I was always very clear about that. And that's one of the things I've been very upfront and genuine with my employer about my intentions and what my thoughts are, even sometimes maybe a little too much, but at the same time, like, it's created a trust, you know, between us that they know that I'm going to say what I'm thinking. And that's really cool. And so I have been thinking about traveling again while I'm working at that job, and it was about 2 years total before I decided that I'm going to be going again. So about 4 months ago from whatever's the date today, March 15th.
Yeah, so December-ish?
Yeah, I decided that I wanted to travel long-term and solo, and it helps that I have a little bit of savings, mm-hmm. but at the same time, the fear mm-hmm. all over again. Well, I love my apartment. I really do.
Oh, this great place on the water. You should see Mason's house. It is like the most prime real estate Gig Harbor. Like you wake up and you look out the window and all of it is just water.
I pay $850 a month for rent, but my neighbor across the bay, which is a very short distance, has a $12 million mansion on the water. So there's the, I'm paying this small amount for this little space that's really been very... like I wake up almost every morning appreciating it. I mm-hmm. go, oh my gosh, like this
it's
is so cool.
It's the dream pad. The dream pad. You got your boat there.
You know, like, maybe not for everybody, but for me, it really resonates super well, you know? And it's very difficult to even have the idea of leaving it and not having it back. So that was one of the most difficult things.
That's the biggest objection for this trip right now, right? It's like figuring out what to do with your place.
Yeah. And so, but eventually... begrudgingly, reluctantly, I decided, okay, I'm gonna let it go. And if it is there, it's available, and if not, that's okay. I'll live anywhere to enable this new experience.
Yes.
Because that's an experience I've been having for the last year and a half at that place, mm-hmm. and it's been great, but at the same time, I can't thwart or hold back a new experience by holding on to an old one.
Yep. And yeah, it's so, like you have to close the door for another one to open, right? You can't like expect new experiences to come if you don't like close these previous ones that are.
Yep. And so basically, recreating, you know. And so I was like, this is great. I have a great job. I love my place. I get lots of time off, and I want something else. I want something different. And so over time, I decided to let go of that place, but also my job. My employer's great, you know. I mean. It's in a lot of ways, it's a dream job. It's not always wonderful. It's car sales, you know, and it can be stressful. And
you're doing really well. He was like pretty high ranking. He had some like colleagues that were very unhappy with how well he was doing.
Except for the managers and the owners, they were all very happy.
Very happy.
They all said Mason was just jealous.
The star child for sure. They were very happy.
so that feels very comfortable. I have a great job. My bosses are great. You know, my benefits, my time off, my schedule, mm-hmm. they're flexible. Mm-hmm. It's wow.
But almost it would like if you stayed, you would become comfortable. Just like
and
it'd be
I
like...
was comfortable again.
Yep.
And actually the last few months before I left, I wasn't showing up ready to work or hungry at all mm-hmm. for sales. I was just actually hanging out, looking at stuff online, researching van life, researching vans, and figuring out how to get out of here. And
I'm sure a lot of people
that sounds crazy, and I know some people are going, that spoiled a-hole, like, how could you be so unsatisfied and unhappy? I wish I had that situation. Mm-hmm. And to that, all I can say is, I'm sorry. I'm a malcontent in some people's minds, you know? And I'm always seeking more and better. I'm not going to just stop
constantly expanding,
a little
and
bit
growing.
Happy, yep. you know. Yep. And so, That's I beautiful. Just knew that I didn't want to regret not doing this, you know. So I was like, well, you only get to live once, and you know, I guess just a brief, you know, my dad has cancer, and he's been fighting that for 8.5 years, and he was given a 90-day diagnosis, and so after seeing him push to be alive for the last 6 years, mm-hmm. Or 6 years, 8.5 years has led me to, not take life for granted, to realize that it's short, and to realize Beautiful. That I'm not going to be around forever, and that if I have the opportunity, why not take it?
Yes. So. Yeah, and being in your comfort zone is only, it's just comfortable.
Yeah.
There's so much adventure out there. I'm going to turn these, the lights just went off.
Yeah, so you can open that and then close it and come back on.
There we go. Cool. Nice. So yeah, that's really inspiring, Mason. I feel like a lot of like, just being able to step out of your comfort zone is the hardest thing to do. But once you get out there, it's actually not that scary, right?
Yes. That's the other thing is that it's kind of like when you are getting into a cold pool and you put your toe in and you're like, oh no.
It's so cold.
And the
but it's so good for you.
Of
the anxiety of not jumping in is almost worse than doing it, you know? And so that is the same in this case.
Taking the leap.
And when I I'm going to miss my job and I'm going to miss my my place with my job, I was just pacing around the manager's desk for almost 3 days. And they were just kind of going, what's up, bud? What's up, bud? You know, but you know, this is right before I told them, because I was just, timing's not right. Timing's not right. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship where you had to break up with somebody and you like,
can't do it yet. You have to hold it. You have to hold it off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the perfect time yet.
So one day my general manager seemed like to be in a really happy mood at the moment. And I said, hey man, like, he was actually hanging out by the front door, which is right by my desk. It was a nice sunny day. And so I kind of baited him. I said, hey, boy, it's really nice outside. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I go, boy, I wonder how the temperature feels. And then we walked outside together, and it was just he and I, and oh, perfect.
That's a good place to have a
good out in the sunshine, yes. Smiling, talking about life being great. Yep. And I said, you know, I am really anxious right now. And he goes, why are you anxious?
This is the breakup conversation.
I baited him again. Why are you anxious? Well, because I think I'm going to be traveling soon. And he's like, really? How long are you going for? I said, I don't know, but maybe 3 to 6 months.
This is Mason's.
How soon? 3 weeks. And he's like, wow, that is soon. So... you know, and he goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to travel in my van. He goes,
damn it.
Good for you. Yes, he really did. You could just tell that he was sad to leave me, to have me leave as an employee because I was valuable, but
so he happy didn't that you're following
want
your dream.
To hold me back. And he was happy I was following my dream.
Yes.
And he said something to the effect of, boy, you know, if I could, and I would do the same, and I can't blame you. That's so great and good for you. I mean, how reassuring that is to have somebody affirm your decision, who you were afraid might react poorly to you deciding to make that. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. Then I had another manager who's directly, he's my guy. I'm his main person on his team, you know, and he was more shocked and upset, but not at me, just in general. And it just came across, and I let that be for a while and came back to it again, you know, and it slowly developed into him saying awesome things about me, you know, and saying like, that's so wonderful and good for you, and you're so capable, and you can choose to do whatever you want in this business, and we want to have you back, and you're great, and you know, that's great for you, you know.
Beautiful.
But it was just interesting to have those reactions, you know, because somebody values you for one reason in their life. Well, I make him money, but he also enjoys working with me. And so me leaving and being not a part of his environment all day, every day, and also contributing to his success.
He's losing something.
He's losing. Yep. And so he's like, oh, no. But eventually it became good for you, and I'm happy, you know. And so that's really cool. And I try to do that with everything in my life, you know, when I've had to split ways with somebody that I was intimate with. It's like, I truly do wish you the best, you know. I truly want the best for you, and I don't want to hold you back in any way, shape, or form. And so I feel like that, you know, maybe I believe in karma, maybe I don't, but I think that's kind of related, you know. So, so I was going to say that then when it came down to my house, that was the worst. That was the breakup text, because I did it via text. And
the
so
worst way to do
and
it.
I was just
the
worst I was waiting to the last minute, and it was like, okay, I know I have a 1 month paid, so I'm gonna have to do it now. And it was like, wrote it, put it away, read it again, send. Throw the phone. It's done. So when that happened and I got a reply within minutes and it was like, oh my gosh, that's too bad. We've really loved having you. You've been the best tenant we've ever had. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you back mm-hmm. if you could, mm-hmm. you know. And so, yeah, that was really good. I'm going to miss that place and those people. So yeah.
No one ever wants to have those tough conversations. But like, how much better do you feel not having, you know, just...
Just having gotten that out there yeah. was great. The anxiety of having to say it and when to and yep. how to was worse, you know, than actually doing it
yep.
both times, you know, and that just relates to deciding to go.
Yep.
And so there's planning involved, but you can't plan every detail yes. of your life.
That it's also not stops possible. You. That also yeah. stops people from doing
when this happens, when I'd save enough money, when I, and this will be bad comes. Timing. Well, how long are you going to push it out, you know? There's some practical things at the same time, but a lot of that is just garbage from your mind because you're fearful to make a decision yep. and pull the trigger.
It's all fear-based thoughts, for sure.
And it's weird because, you know, your heart and your mind, they speak different languages uh-huh. and they speak different points, sure. you know? And so you got to pay attention to your heart, and that one is really... that's where the good stuff is, because the mind just wants to protect you, yep. but it also protects you from having great experiences and being a different person or, making those choices that your heart wants, you know? So yeah, that's been present in every time that I've decided to go traveling, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I tell people like, okay, so van life, you know, well, I'm not published or this is my first time actually having a van. I had a camper, you know, before, but I mean, yes, I've watched days and days of videos or weeks and weeks of videos. And I cannot tell you what, when I say I have a van or I'm going traveling in my van, how many people's eyes light up and say, oh my God, van life. And they just like, they almost like yell it like, wow, like van life.
You're doing it. You're doing what I
yeah,
want to do.
Yeah. And then it's usually almost always followed up with, I've always dreamed of doing that. And you know, and I'm like, great. Well, you know, you should
do it.
You should do it. And it's not like anger, like what do you do with your life? Like, come on, just pull the trigger.
Go for
you
it.
Know? I'm just like, yeah, man, like be really cool. Like, you know, go ahead, like, you know, you should do it. Well, you know, I got this or I got that always going on, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, and some of them, okay, you know, yeah, you're raising children. Well, I've seen a lot of people get creative with that. So what I wanted to say about that was whether it's money or whether it's children or whether it's my spouse or it's my everything that you're working towards in your life and that you're dreaming of includes compromise. And so... I guess what I'm saying is that there's some things that may not sound ideal and sound uncomfortable, but as long as you're willing to do those things or to compromise on them, you can achieve your goals.
Yes.
And
so that is so inspiring.
That is so inspiring. Yeah. So, like I said, pooping in a bag. Well, I've never had to do it, but and that's not the only thing. Obviously, that's a joke. But yeah. So I mean, I've actually read some books where people are eating different meals for 2.5 years while they save up money to do this, however the means come, right? And so those people, they knew their dream was more important than those fancy meals they were eating, or that they were going to cut coffee out, or that they were going to start brewing it themselves mm-hmm. instead so they can mm-hmm. spend some money. I mean, there's countless ways to achieve it, but yes. you have to be willing and see the relationship with that compromise, you know, yes. in order to achieve that goal.
That's the nugget of inspiration. So, that's so good. I feel like the underlying theme of all of this that you've been sharing is like, get out of your comfort zone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also be able to take the risk. And it's not even like sacrificing, it's just compromising, being open to like something different.
Yeah.
And than you're used to.
New experiences. You know, I mean, a lot of people go on a vacation and they have everything planned to a T, you know, and with van life, I don't think that's the richest way to experience it, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have a general idea and you can have some trips planned, you know, and you got to have some kind of idea and itinerary. But I really just like, I implore people to at least spend a period where you don't have somewhere to be or somewhere to go mm-hmm. and go in a little town and just... if someone talks to you about literally anything, strike up that conversation, and you don't know what you're going to learn or the friend that you're going to make.
Yep.
They're going to invite you over for dinner, yep. and you're going to have a second cousin in common. I've heard some really cool stories, but I've experienced some myself too. And like yep. the
just being open
gentleman I met living in a Subaru on my second trip when I went out solo, that guy was a life changer, you know. So Miko, if you're out there,
shout out to Miko.
You know, and it wasn't just him, it's the people that he introduced me to, you know. But just that openness, you know, that I think that when we're living a lot of our daily lives, like you know, I don't want to call it the grind, but your average, you know, day, and you're going to the grocery store and you don't even like look and smile at everybody or people, you know, because you got stuff to do and mm-hmm. places to be and mm-hmm. things to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's one of the cool things about doing this long-term kind of open-ended stuff is, hey, today's a relaxed day. You know, I'm not going climbing. I'm going to go into town and see if I can meet some cool people. You know, it's not about checking something off of a list. Oh, I went here, saw it. Okay, cool. Like, where's the next place to roll on to? So
just being present and open,
yeah.
allowing the experiences to come to you instead of always needing to.
And
like,
that kind of leads me into the next, you know, thing that I've experienced personally is isolation. When you're traveling by yourself and you don't know anyone, it can feel very isolating at times where you're a little lonely, you know. Yeah, you have social media, you can talk to your friends and family on the phone, but that in-person connection, you know, is kind of lost when you don't put yourself out there or try to meet or talk to strangers, you know. And so for someone that's not very talkative or doesn't really talk to strangers, you know, that's a way to help learn how to do
yes,
that.
An opportunity to grow.
And, you know, mm-hmm. I have a stutter, and I actually do have a hard time talking to strangers at times when I'm aware of it and thinking of it, which is just part of the anxiety of that condition, I guess. But I don't let it hold me back. Obviously, I sell cars for a living, and it ends up being kind of endearing and working in my favor in that mm-hmm. way. Mm-hmm. But because people are like, boy, this guy doesn't have a slick tongue. He's got the opposite. He can hardly speak. Mm-hmm. He can't like talk me into this.
And they still love you. And yeah. they still buy yeah. the car. Yeah, and you're right, still right. number one at the dealership.
But guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, that people is as important as places in this travel thing. So,
yep. That's awesome, Mason. Thank you for sharing all of that. I hope that the people out there listening or anyone that has the desire to go live the van life, I hope just you speaking about all that clears so many objections for them. Because you can sit all day and think of excuses of what not to do something, but think about what you're missing. It's like I look at just hearing Mason talk about his experiences. I'm like, clearly none of the fears are worth anything just to go out and do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, go for it. Seize the day.
Yeah, and it's interesting that when you tell someone that you're going to be traveling, the responses that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware that there are some people that really have your best interest in mind, and they're fearful. Mm-hmm. So they want the best for you, and they're afraid for you mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And some of their advice can be thwarting to your adventure. So just remember to keep listening to your heart.
Yes, you know? It's the key. That's the secret sauce.
When they say, hey man, I really care about you, so I really think you should get a job before you leave, or you should lock something down, mm-hmm. or you should have an idea, or you should have more savings.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your advice. I appreciate that. And I will be okay. And I will be okay. You know, so.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So say that camera is a person that has been on the fence about doing the van life. What do you tell them?
Well, have you been listening?
That's really good.
I haven't paid any attention at all.
That's solid.
So
just go for it. Fucking go for it.
Just send it.
Send it. Seriously, it's like there's only wonderful things on the other side, right?
So
that's great.
I would say, that if it's important to you, it's unstoppable.
Yep.
So try not to make it more difficult.
Yeah, when your mind gets in the way, it just
get out of
it
your
harder.
Own way, you know, because your soul wants it. It's going to convince, your mind is going to try to convince you that it's not possible, or that you should wait and later is a better time. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of spiritual stuff's been talking about the now and the present. That's important, because you can put something off for a time, or a dream, but it's going to remind you later that it was unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that gives you the goosebumps.
I don't mean that to be like fear and ominous, you know.
No, the fear of like having the regret of never pursuing your dream. That would suck ass.
You're going to live in regret.
Yes.
And you just burn in that forever.
Yes.
Unless you do this now.
That should be enough leverage to make someone do something, right?
I hope that's inspiring.
Yes. Imagine your deathbed that
you never. It sounds kind of like religion. If you don't do this right, you're going to burn in for eternity. It'll suck forever unless this happens now.
So the thing that always motivates me is like, you imagine yourself on your deathbed and you never actually went for it. And you can't even make your body get up to do it. So you must. It's the only way. You must.
You know, I just want to say that people young and old have the same kind of responses. It's like, wow, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Like, what a great thing. But the people who are older typically do have that same, I wish I would have, mm-hmm. I wish I could have, mm-hmm. you know. Also, people out there who are like, well, I have a bad knee, or I, you know, am in a wheelchair. I have seen many people on van life that have vans outfitted for them in their wheelchairs, and I think that's the coolest freaking thing ever.
Yep. Like, nothing will stop you.
I got my knee was talking to me like a couple weeks ago, and I thought, oh man, maybe I need to put this off because I got a bad knee, you know, I can't go hiking and skiing. And it's like, your mind will come up with whatever it can to try to prevent you from stepping out of your comfort zone.
That is
eventually
facts.
I realized it was like, whoa, whoa, thank you, but actually it feels good now.
good. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mason.
Thanks for having me, man.
That is like, that's so inspiring. You're like the only personal friend I know that's doing the van life.
Yeah.
So,
and you know,
that's why I had to have you on the show before you left. He's leaving in 2 weeks.
We've been talking about van life, but let's be real. A lot of the stuff we're talking about is all sorts of stuff.
Yes, it applies
not to just van life.
Everything in life.
Yeah.
Like, just, and when you have a dream, you go for it.
Yeah.
No matter what all the things outside
say. You want to build a house, you know, you want to have a family, and whatever those things are.
I'm so glad this is like a universal inspiration. Like, you're doing the van life, but this, everything that you're saying can apply to anyone that wants more out of their life. I think that's so cool. So if you guys want to follow Mason's journey, he's not super active on social media, but hopefully me sharing this right now will make him more so, because he has so many cool experiences and he takes so many photos, but he never shares the photos. So this, you guys follow him on Instagram, Footloose Moose. I'll put the links in the description, and I'm just so proud and honored that, just so excited for you that you're doing it.
Thank you.
I love having friends that are just going for it, just following their dream, because there's no other way to live this life. And
yeah, I just wanted to say that I inspire when I feel inspired, and by having this conversation with you, it has created an inspirational mode in me, and so that's been really awesome. And as far as me posting on social media, I've always done it when I feel inspired.
Yes.
I will inspire.
Same. Good.
And I have all sorts of friends, family, coworkers. Post more. Well, it feels wonderful to know that those things are like, whether it's even just a picture of me doing something like skiing or in a hot spring, or a picture of my van, as long as it sparks something in them that goes, ah, that's really cool, I want to do that, or that reminds me of my dream, well, that's valuable.
Yep.
So I hope that my that me talking through this has inspired at least a couple of you to take more steps, mm-hmm. and to actually just go for it if it's what you want to do.
I love it.
But also just kind of give you an idea into the mind of a traveler without a plan or itinerary, because I can see that when I tell people at work, you know, hey, I'm leaving, I'll be gone a couple weeks, and they respond, you know, and they're like, where are you going? Like, well, I'm
sure.
Going, you know, like all over the West. Where's your first stop? Well, I don't know, but it'll probably be somewhere east of here, because we're in Washington, or south
that.
Or something.
I never have a plan for my life either. It just works out.
And there's some people that are just like blown away and go, whoa, you're doing what? And then there's other people that go, huh, cool. And they just don't even have a, but that's okay. So what I'm saying is you people out there that are going, whoa, that's cool. You're the ones that really need to be paying attention. Yep. The people that are like, yeah, like that's cool, but I'm not even interested. All of these things that we've been talking about in principles can just not apply to van life and mm-hmm. some other goal that you have.
Yep. So. Yep. Wow, that's beautiful, Mason.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Follow Mason on social media, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Ohmcast. Safe travels, and I'm so excited for you, man.
Let's hug it out.
Let's hug it out. For the listeners out there, I hope you guys are inspired, and we'll see you next time. Peace.